Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorns had a feed on the lowly tree. I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande, but my legs ain't bowed and my cheeks ain't tan. I'm a cowboy who never saw a cow, never roped a steer, cause I don't know how, and the show ain't fixin' started now. Yippee-i-o-kai, yippee-i-o-kai. I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande, and I learned to ride before I learned to stand. I'm a riding fool who is up to date. I know every trail in the Lone Star State, cause I learned to ride in a Ford V8. Yippee-i-o-kai, yippee-i-o-kai. From the Rio Grande, and I come to town just to hear the band. I know all the songs that the cowboys know about the big corral where the dogies go, cause I learned them all on the radio. Yippee-i-o-kai, 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 yippee-i-o-kai. Well, hello again there, friends and neighbors, and welcome to Melody Ranch. When the angels turn the lights on in heaven tonight and hang out the stars in the blue, when you see that first star in your window tonight, I'll be dreaming, my darling, of you. Starlight, star bright up in the blue, I wish tonight that I could be with you. When the angels turn the lights on in heaven tonight and hang out the stars in the blue. Starlight, star bright up in the blue, I wish tonight that I could be with you. When the angels turn the lights on in heaven tonight and hang out the stars in the blue. Well, thank you, folks. Many thanks. Say, Patrick.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you reading there?
Oh, hi, Mr. Artery. I just got a letter from my papa back home.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Well, what does your pappy have to say?
Oh, not much. I'll read it to you if you'd like. I didn't know his papa could write.
That's nothing. I didn't know that his son Patrick could read.
Listen, you two, I'll have you know that I can read writing about as good as papa can write reading.
Well, that makes sense.
Shall I proceed with the letter?
By all means, please proceed.
Okay, it says here, Dear Son Pat.
That's me.
Oh, I wondered.
Says, just a line to let you in on the bad news.
Bad news?
Yeah. Remember that cow you and me bought and split 50-50? Well, I got to thinking it over and finally decided that I'd got the wrong end of the deal. My half kept eating all the hay and your half kept giving all the milk. So I just want you to know that I got mad, shot my half, and your half died.
Sounds like a real bright thing for your pappy to do.
Oh, Papa's smart, all right.
Oh, I can tell that. Yes.
Listen to what he says next. He says, I am enclosing a picture of Aunt Hazel in her wedding dress.
Oh. There. Been a wedding.
Yeah. Here she is. Just look at her. Old Homer Bates was a lucky guy.
But I take it that she and Homer got married then, huh?
No. But Aunt Hazel, she claims that she was two-thirds married.
Two-thirds married?
Yep. She showed up, the preacher showed up, but Homer never did.
Well, from the looks of that picture, I can't say as I blame him too much. Say, what's your pappy say next?
Oh, you want to hear it. Interesting, huh?
Oh, very, very interesting.
Says, the other night, Uncle Clyde come in kind of late, all bandaged up. So Aunt Grace says to him, Clyde, what's the idea of coming home 2 hours late?
Mm-hmm.
Clyde says, honey, I've been run over. Well, sir, before Uncle Clyde knew what had happened, she picked up a lamp, threw it at him. She says it don't take 2 hours to get run over.
Poor old Uncle Clyde.
Yeah.
A lot of people in Hollywood run over, too, lately. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uncle Clyde couldn't win for losing, could he?
No, he's been that way all his life.
Oh. Does your pappy say anything else, Patrick?
Just a P.S. says, son, I wish you would write more often, even if it's only $3 or $4. Then there's a, here's a P.S.S.
Uh-huh.
You want me to read it?
Well, might as well. The other one didn't get such a laugh.
All right. P.S. Grandpa got a new radio set the other day.
Uh-huh.
One of them kind that you can get foreign countries on. Well, sir, the other night they delivered it. It was raining and lightning cats and dogs, so the static was terrible.
Yeah.
Finally, though, after listening to the racket for about an hour, Grandma turned to Grandpa and says, you getting anything? Grandpa says, yeah, I think I just got Brazil. I can hear them a-cracking nuts.
Goodbye, little darling, we're parting. You know it's hard to say goodbye. You'll find someone new, and they'll be good to you. Goodbye, little darling, goodbye. Goodbye, little darling, don't worry. Parting don't always mean goodbye. You will always be in my memory. Goodbye, little darling, goodbye. Goodbye, little darling, I'll miss you. Just like the stars would miss the sky. And though we have to part, you'll always have my heart. Goodbye, little darling, goodbye. Texas sky. I don't know when or where, but darling, I'll be there. Goodbye, little darling, goodbye. Well, thanks a lot there, neighbors. I'm glad you liked it.
Hey, did you read in this morning's paper where they just passed a bill back there in Washington okaying a bridge across the Mississippi River?
What's so amazing about that? They've already got plenty of bridges across the Mississippi.
Lengthwise? By the way, speaking of Washington, what's this I hear about some kid named Joe somebody or other coming down from Capital City to spend next weekend with us?
You heard right, Patrick.
Well, good. I'm glad he's coming. Just tell me one other thing, will you? Who's Joe?
You mean to tell me that I never told you about Little Joe?
No, I mean to tell me you never told me about Little Joe.
Well, in that case, listen,
my boy. Just listen. The first time I saw Little Joe, he was sitting on a rock down by the front gate. He couldn't have been much more than 10 years old. Just a tow-headed, freckle-faced kid with the eyes the color of a summer sky. But dressed in the darndest cowboy outfit you ever saw. A white sombrero that was three times too big for him. A yellow scarf knotted around his neck. Fuzzy fur chaps. And a pair of torn and faded jeans. His boots were all scuffed and dusty. And he looked just about as tired as a tired boy could look. In fact, as I rode Champ up closer, I could see that he'd been crying.
Well, hi there, cowboy.
Hi.
Say, what's the matter with you? You look a little down in the mouth.
I'm okay.
By the way, that's sure some outfit you're wearing.
Yeah.
Look, son, it's none of my business. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to. But aren't you a little far away from home?
What? I'm looking for a job.
Oh, I see. What kind of a job?
Promise you won't laugh?
Well, sure, I promise.
I want to be a cowboy.
So that's it. And does your mom know about this?
No. I mean, I ain't got no mom.
You sure that's the truth?
I said it was, didn't I?
Okay. I believe you. Look, tell you what. Suppose you climb up here on Champ with me, huh? We'll just take a ride up to the house. I know the guy that runs this place. Maybe we can talk him into giving you a job. Come on. Funny, isn't it? Runaway kids never seem to stop and think that the very people they're running away from are the ones who love them the most. If they did, I'm sure they'd never run away. Anyway, all during dinner that night, we tried to find out where the boy lived and who he was. But the only thing he'd tell us was that his name was Joe.
Well, this is where you bunk, son.
Thanks.
Sure you don't want to tell me your last name?
No.
Why not?
Because if I did, send me home. I don't want to go home. I want to be a cowboy. Like you.
You know, Joe, I'm mighty honored that you'd say that. And I think you can be someday. But first, you've got to grow up. Well, moms and dads are kind of important when a fellow's growing up.
I know. Only...
Only what?
Only they're so darn busy. He and Dad are never home at...
Hey, now. Come on. Cowboys don't cry. Besides, I feel kind of sorry for your mom and dad trying to get along without a big guy like you to lean on.
They'll get along. I know they will.
I wouldn't be too sure of that if I were you. Right now, though, you better get some sleep. Your bed's all turned down and there's a clean towel on your pillow. See you in the morning, huh?
Night.
Good night, cowboy. Pleasant dreams.
Did you find out anything?
Oh, not enough to matter, Johnny.
What about you? Anything is closed?
Oh, just the usual stuff kids carry. Slingshot, 3 stones, a movie ticket stub, and a streetcar token.
Is that all?
Yeah. You know, it'd sure make things like this a lot easier if mothers had put their names in their kids' clothes.
I guess they never think of that till it's too late, Johnny.
So, what do we do now?
I'm going to call up Sheriff Dillon. Maybe he's found out something. I hope. But he hadn't. What's more, he just finished checking with all the county sheriffs for 50 miles around. None of them had any report on a missing kid. Nevertheless, all that night, we kept covering every other angle we knew. But by morning, we were right back where we started.
cowboy. Going all right?
Okay. Down, boy. Down.
Oh, you like dogs, Joe?
Oh, gosh, I'll say. Especially this one. He's just like my dog, Spot.
Oh, is that so? Now, how old is Spot?
5. Would you like to hear what he does?
Sure would. What does Spots do?
He eats sodas with me down at the corner drugstore.
Oh?
Mr. Burns puts them on a plate for him.
No kidding.
He doesn't like strawberries so much, though.
Well, I don't blame him. Neither do I. Say, tell me, Joe, do you like horses?
Oh, boy, I say.
Well, good. Then, how does this sound to you? Johnny is just finishing gentling up a new calico pony. Maybe by tomorrow you can ride him. How'd you like that?
Oh, golly, golly. That means I'm really going to get to be a cowboy after all.
Pretty wonderful, isn't it, what a pony means to a kid? Somehow, nothing else can quite take its place. As for the rest of us, well, all we could do was just keep hoping that the ripples from the stones we'd dropped in the water would keep spreading out farther and farther. That way, maybe somewhere, someone else might be doing the same thing. Then the ripples would meet and we'd be able to send a lost boy home. But suddenly, just after noon the next day, the ripples stopped.
Gene! Hey, Gene, you gotta come quick.
Huh?
Joe tried to ride the calico and he's been hurt.
You know, there's something about a kid that's been hurt that really tears your heart out. You'd give anything to take the pain for him, but you can't. Well, sir, that's how I felt as we took Joe in the house, put him in bed. 30 minutes later, Doc Thompson got there. But it was almost an hour after that before little Joe slowly opened his eyes.
Gene?
Yeah, cowboy. I'm right here.
I rode the calico.
You're darn right you did. How you feel?
Kind of funny. I want my mom.
Sure you do, son. You just tell me where she is, and I'll get her for you right away.
I'm so tired.
Sorry, Gene. I gave him something to quiet him down, but don't worry. You know, a youngster his age is pretty resilient. He'll be okay in a couple of days, maybe even sooner. That is, if you could get his parents here.
That's just it, Doc. I don't know. Hey, wait a minute. Johnny.
Yeah, Gene?
Where'd you put those things you found in Joe's pocket?
Back in his pants? Why?
Get them for me quick. I just got a hunch. I don't know why I hadn't thought of it before. But little Joe's treasures all added up to something. The streetcar token gave me the city. The movie ticket stub gave me the neighborhood theater. A telephone call to Mr. Burns down at the corner drugstore, and I knew where the little boy, whose dog likes sodas, lived. Exactly 26 hours later, two nervous but happy people stood outside Joe's door at Melody Ranch.
I'm almost afraid to go in. You think he'll ever forgive us, Mr. Autry?
Sure he will, Mrs. Stevens. You know, with a boy like Joe, it isn't so much a question of forgiving. He just needs his dad and mother and lots of love.
I know. From here on in, he's going to get plenty of all three. May we go in now?
Go ahead. He's waiting for you.
Joe? My boy.
I closed the door after him. There were a lot of things that the three of them had to talk about. And there was a lot of lost time that they all had to make up for. Funny thing, too, I got a letter from Joe's mother just the other day. She says they're getting along just fine, and that after he gets back from visiting us this weekend, starts his first year in high school. Yes, sir. Little Joe is sure growing up. But somehow I can't help but recalling one morning a few years back when a young, tow-headed, freckle-faced kid sat all alone at my front gate because he was unhappy at home. Yet, you know, I've got a hunch there are a lot of little Joes in the world who felt the same way when maybe with just a little more time and understanding on the part of Mom and Dad, their house would truly become their home.
A tiny turned up nose, two cheeks just like a rose, so sweet from head to toe, that little boy of mine. Two arms that hold me tight, two eyes that shine so bright, two lips that kiss goodnight, that little boy of mine. No one will ever know just what his coming has meant, because I love him so, he's something heaven has sent. He's all the world to me, he climbs upon my knee, to me he'll always be, that little boy of mine. No one will ever know just what his coming has meant, because I love him so, he's something heaven has sent. He's all the world to me, he climbs upon my knee, he'll always be that little boy.
Well, good friends, that seems to be the last rung on the old ladder for this Smarty Ranch party. But we've got another swell get-together lined up for you at the same time and over these same stations, so try and join us then, won't you? Meantime, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us
until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed, I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the reins once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right, back in the saddle again. Whoopie tie, I oh, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle.